Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit now, who owns you, will not let you live like that. This is what's called antinomianism. It means I can, now that I'm a Christian, I can do whatever I want and ask God to forgive me. That is impossible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack wraps up a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. The social and political issues we face today are challenging, and many questions will arise that require the wisdom only the Bible can give. Believers need to stay strong in living out their Christianity by studying God's Word while continuing their focus on the gospel message. Today, Pastor Jack begins the third and last Q&A segment of our Worldview series by sharing how we live in an amazing time in history, and we really must always be ready to give an answer for our faith. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Okay, first question. I'm going to look to this screen for the first question. I think it's this screen. And the first one is, politics and social issues exhaust me. Me too. Eternal issues don't. Praise the Lord. Me too. Can we redirect our efforts and focus back to sharing God's word? Sharing God's word and his saving grace. Don't take this off the screen. I just set my timer. Number one, we never stopped sharing God's word and his saving grace. That's how probably several hundred people over the course of this last year have gotten saved here. They didn't get saved here by political issues or social issues. They got saved here by preaching of the word of God. So let's dissect whoever's question this is. Number one, political issues exhaust me. Please, I hope that's not an excuse. If it's an excuse, it means I'd rather quit. We cannot quit. As long as politics and social issues and the commanders and chiefs of these kinds of things invade our lives and pulpits and Bibles and how we raise our children, we must never become exhausted at resisting evil, okay? These issues, as our founding fathers spoke of, political and social issues can be a great blessing or a great curse. It depends on who's driving the boat, okay? And eternal issues don't exhaust you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'll just take issue with this. I don't believe we've ever got off course, because my Christianity and yours is to be lived out everywhere in the political realm, which affects your life every day. By the way, you starting to pay new taxes on January 1st, that's the political realm. And because of that, you're going to have to start living less so you can maintain your tithe of love unto God, right? You don't take away from your tithing to the Lord because you have to pay the government more. Interesting, huh? It's just going to make it more difficult for you to live your life privately. Why? Because politics has invaded your life. I believe that there's no separation of church and state when God's on his throne. As a Christian, I'm to live my life everywhere. And I've got 54 seconds to spare. Okay? I mean, you should know this. You've already, I'm assuming you're here. Look at the little mouse. Look at it. What's it doing? Look. Next question. Oh, here it comes. Okay, start the timer here. Self-proclaimed Christians say Jesus would never hold a picket sign or stand in line to support Chick-fil-A. Maybe falafel filet, but Chick-fil-A, I don't know. What is our response? Wait a minute. Some self-proclaimed Christians say Jesus would never hold a picket sign. A picket sign, we have to dissect this. A picket sign is a statement. So can I just change this? Can I take the liberty to change this? That self-proclaimed Christians say Jesus would never make a statement or stand in support of something? Jesus stood in support of every citizen in Rome paying taxes, right? He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Okay, he didn't make a sign, but he said it. And it says that Jesus would never make a statement. I disagree with that. Listen, when the government power says, just say Caesar is Lord and you can live. And then Jesus comes along and says that he is the Lord. Jesus comes along and makes a statement and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Look, that's bigger than any falafel filet statement or poster you'll ever make, okay? So I see what you're saying. Would Jesus be out in front of Chick-fil-A with a poster or with a sign? How about this? Let's go back 2,000 years ago when there was no Chick-fil-A and put it this way. Would Jesus stand for, because I'm connecting the Chick-fil-A issue, would Jesus stand for the definition of natural marriage? The answer is Jesus did stand for the definition of traditional marriage, said so clearly, and you don't, when you're God speaking in human flesh, you don't have to carry a sign. And I'll just end with this. The greatest sign, if you want to talk about an actual sign, is when Jesus was crucified and when he was raised up on the cross, there was a sign put over his head that Jesus was, in fact, the Son of God. And that's the wonderful statement. That's the wonderful declaration to keep in mind. Next question. I'm an ex-homosexual man who has become a Christian. I'm struggling to conform my life to the biblical expectations as I still have lingering thoughts. That's awesome. First of all, let me tell you something. That's awesome. First of all, let me say this. Me. You point to you. I'm an ex brawler. Me. You know, brawler, that's an old term. Okay? I would get in a fist fight with an ant. I'm a former fighter who has become a Christian, and I'm struggling to conform my life, biblical expectations. Why? Lingering thoughts. Listen, you understand? Listen. Whoever sent this in, see these lingering thoughts? Church, I'm going to let you answer this young man's question, or this old man's, it doesn't matter, this man's question. How long is this person going to have to fight with lingering thoughts? Did you hear that? For the rest of your life. Okay, here's the reason why. You're born again now. Before, you may have fought with the fact that this ain't right. That's why you're an ex-homosexual. You knew that it wasn't right. A bank robber knows he ought not to rob banks. But after a while, you get callous to robbing banks. Okay? Listen, when you become born again, a war starts inside of you. Read Romans 17. I'm sorry. Read Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8. All of us should be reading Romans chapter 7 and 8. Why? Though we become a new creation, we have to put the word of God in our mind every day. We've been given a new heart, but we have to renew our mind. How do you renew your mind? Bible, Bible, Bible. Listen, what did someone say a long time ago? It's ancient. 7 days without the Bible makes 1 week. Yes. W-E-A-K. Yes. Okay, remember that. Listen, my good friend. The Bible says, what God has started in you, he will complete unto the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 again and be encouraged, because the scripture says all of these things, that a murderer, a thief, a drunk, a fighter, a sodomite, a homosexual, it goes down a list, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then the next line, and such were some of you. At a time. Be encouraged, man. That's awesome. You are an example of the power of God. That's great. That's great. You ought to send that to CNN because they say that can't happen. What non-mainstream news sites do you recommend we look at? If so, much junk on the internet is difficult to sort through what is truth. That's for sure. I mean, I'm pretty down on the internet personally. I think the internet's the biggest gossip sin platform in the universe, and much of what's on there isn't true. Someone just sent me a picture the other day of some event that should have taken place, and I looked at it, and I happen to know that that's not possible because when that took place, this person was over here. So I wrote the guy back, and I said, listen, your picture that someone sent you has been Photoshopped. It's fake. So be very, very careful. This is going to sound crazy, okay? I would look at as many non-mainstream media news sources as possible. And I really personally look at the sites of those who I don't agree with. I'm always on Al Jazeera America. I am always looking at news out of Iran. News from China, the people's news in China. I always want to be reading to see and to hear what they're saying. You say, yeah, but that's going to be propaganda too. I understand that. It's propaganda everywhere. I'll give you, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I want you to write this down. You're going to want to look at these news sources because they're actually not even news sources per se. They simply gather data and sell what they get, except one. The one that is the most valuable to me is, write it down, I think it's all caps, memri.org. I think it's org, .com or .org. That's the Middle East Media Report Institute, Research Institute. Brilliant. It's owned by a Holocaust survivor. The guy's 90-something years old. I had a chance to meet him. And he owns other media outlets, but this particular thing is an unfiltered, raw data that's gathered, and it's distributed to other global news outlets. The amazing thing is you can get it in your language. He has interpreters and all. For example, you can go online, you can go onto their site and listen in English, because it's translated, to the Friday sermon in the mosque in Saudi Arabia every week, and to hear what they think about you. It's unfiltered. It may keep you up at night, but it's pretty amazing stuff. And so there's others like Strat4. You can get data from those guys. Debka, D-E-B-K-A, I think, .org is very accurate. It's known for being accurate. Have you guys ever heard of a guy by the name of Matt Drudge? The Drudge Report, he gets most of his data from the two I just mentioned right now. So, now look, if you want salacious gossip, which general is sleeping with what woman tonight, then you're not going to get it at those locations. They just leave that trash alone. So check that out, okay? Next one. If you have already had sex and then you become a Christian, what is the point of refraining from sex? You already did it once? Let me ask you, what do you think this is? What do you think this is? What do you think sex is? Is it a hobby? Is it a sport? See, in America, it's a sport. It's not a sport and it's not a hobby. Sex is a God-ordained, divinely appointed, supernatural union between two human beings created in the image of God. Sex is holy, divine, amazing, God says, in the confines of marriage, because marriage is what puts the fence around sex. When you're not married, and then, well, what's with the piece of paper anyway? Forget the piece of paper! I'm not talking about paper. I'm not talking about going to the county. Marriage, God says, let the marital bed be undefiled. You know what that means? Get married and keep your marriage safe and protected, not only by prayer and Bible, but by sex. And so listen, what's the point of refraining from sex now that what? Now that you're a single Christian? The Bible says if this is how you live, and honestly, brother or sister, if this is how you think, you need to read 1 and 2 John, because it means that you're not really this. The Holy Spirit now, who owns you, will not let you live like that. This is what's called antinomianism. It means now that I'm a Christian, I can do whatever I want and ask God to forgive me. That is impossible. The Bible says that you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. Sex is for marriage. Sex is part of the fellowship of a husband and wife. It is a supernatural bond. By the way, even without Christianity, because God made even the non-believer in his own image, that when a non-believer and a non-believer have sex together, there is a bond emotionally that does tremendous damage outside of marriage. And somebody might say tonight, well, I have so much sex with so many people, I don't have any damage. The Bible says that your conscience then has already been seared by a hot iron. As it were, by a hot iron. You become callous. Sex is a spiritual aspect of marriage. And what blows my mind is this whole way of thinking proves the pulpitry of the American media system. The pulpit of the American media is to get you to believe this doctrine. This is Norman Lear 1-1, for example. This is ABC 1-1 to think like this. You can't. Well, again, listen. Read 1 John, not John chapter 1. 1 John. And make sure that you're a Christian. Christian cannot premeditate this kind of thing. Gosh, now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to go for it. And listen. If you're struggling with this, no, not if, you are. If you've crossed this line, and now that you're a Christian, remember the previous question about the thoughts? You have to have more Bible to overcome those thoughts. Okay? You have to. Next question. Is it okay for a Christian to use contraceptives in marriage? Oh man, I got to ask that a lot. Next question. Okay, no matter how I answer this, I'm going to get in trouble. You understand that? No matter how I answer this, I'm going to get in trouble. First of all, about 65% of you who attend this church are either former Catholics or Catholics. Here's the deal. And again, help me out on this, and I'm going to ask you this. For example, the birth control pill, what does that do? Does a birth control pill abort a conception, or does it prevent a conception from taking place? Are you 46? Yes. How is RU 46 different from a birth control pill? Is it?
Different quantity.
Different what? Intensity? Okay. So, can a Christian use this? There are various forms of this. I'll simply say this without getting too personal. It's no one's business here. My wife, Lisa, she has health issues that she could not use traditional protection like this. Medically, not possible. So there's other things that you can do. Number one thing regarding this is your conviction. What is God saying to you? Now, there are some things that I believe are completely, absolutely wrong. Anything that would abort a conception is wrong. Yeah, but you know what? It's only 24 hours old. If you know the Bible, listen, I know I could give you an easier answer that is much more politically correct answer, but according to God, and I think if we really get out of the emotional part and think about this scientifically and reasonably, and even prophetically, I mean, looking forward, conception to God, when life comes together, to God, it's just as much precious as it is when that person's 99 years old. Do you understand that? God is not, oh, is it kind of maybe, I don't know, looks like a fish. God doesn't think like that. Because I can tell you, some people will say, and I've been told this, if a husband and wife If they use something to prevent, if they use other means to prevent pregnancy, that because you are together physically, the husband and wife are together physically, and they've used something to prevent that, that is a sin. And they'll cite the Old Testament, Onan, when he did not fulfill his duty regarding the raising up of a son or a child for the ongoing name of his brother in the scripture. And the Bible says that he wasted his seed upon the earth when he was having intercourse with this young woman, okay? And God judged that man. God judged him because it was already commanded in Scripture that if a woman died without rearing up the family name, then the brother-in-law was to carry on the family name through her. Thank God we don't do that anymore. That's why he got in trouble, not because of the other thing. But this is a hot topic, and you can go 1,000 different directions on this. Number one, I believe for me personally, anything that would abort conception is wrong. You can say it's RU486. You can say it's a birth control pill or whatever it might be. Find out the details regarding this. And then you, in your understanding of God's word, and you pray regarding this issue. This is a big deal. This is a big deal, especially if you're Catholic. This is a big, big deal. Okay? So, I hate that question. That's a hard one, because you lose either way. How do you answer this? I'll guarantee I'll be asked more later on this question than anything else. It's a hot button. Next one. Where should we stand on the death penalty as a Christian? Where the Bible says. The Bible's very clear about the death penalty. The Bible says, for example, if a man rapes a woman, he is to be put to death. Did you know that? By the way, if you're a woman and you've been raped, you probably just said amen to that inside your head. God says, a man who rapes a woman, put him to death. Put him. Death penalty. I think Old Testament, I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, I think even kidnapping is punishable by death in the Old Testament. Premeditated murder, obviously, in the Bible, is punishable by death. God invented the death penalty. Not for you and I to do, by the way. Did you know? God gave the death penalty to be under the control of a government and authorities of a culture. Our culture is so godless that they think, a lot of young people today think that the death penalty is some sort of a sin or wrong. That's why you want to have, you know, it's interesting. We go almost right back to this first question tonight. That's why you want to have very good leaders in your culture so that they take this very seriously and don't make stupid decisions about this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in the third question and answer presentation of our worldview series. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the program. Pastor Jack hopes today's message has clarified some indeed challenging subjects. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you're looking for a more active, a more relevant, a more engaging faith, check out the Worldview Series. Now, today you can get the Worldview Series USB MP3 available for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a USB thumb drive that combines the entire Worldview series of sermons by Pastor Jack on MP3. Get yours today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.